everybody. Welcome again to F This Movie, the official podcast of FThisMovie.net. Movie love for movie lovers. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I'm very excited to be joined once again to talk about Logan, the new and final Wolverine movie starring Hugh Jackman. I'm joined by Adam Thaz.
Grumble, grumble, snicked, snicked.
And Mike.
Hey, everybody.
When I say joined again, I literally mean joined again because, listen to this, F This Movie fans, we literally just recorded an entire 90-minute episode on Logan.
It was awesome.
It was good. It was fun. I feel like it was the best I've ever been. And it was lost for the second time in F This Movie history. A podcast did not record. So here we are about 20 minutes later. We're going to do it all again for you guys.
It'll be fresh again.
I promised a show on Logan, and God damn it, I'm going to do a show on Logan. So thank you, Mike and Adam, for devoting your entire night now to podcasting on this fucking movie.
There's nowhere we'd rather be. Except at a movie.
Without Patrick.
Without Patrick.
Listen, I was feeling some goodwill because you guys are helping me out by sticking around to do this again. But if you're going to start bringing that shit up, the first podcast was rife with jokes about how they ditched me to see Logan by themselves without me. I wasn't going to make those jokes. You guys lead with that shit? Guess what?
Not my finest moment.
I am going to go there once again.
I just follow his lead and he keeps fucking up, Patrick.
We are going to talk about Logan a little bit later in the show. We will talk spoiler-free for a few minutes, and then, provided you have seen the movie or don't mind having it spoiled, you can continue to listen, and we will talk about it. It sounds, based on the box office receipts and my social media feed, that it sounds like most people saw Logan this weekend, so that's good news. Everyone can listen, even to the spoiler section. Before we talk about what we've seen lately, I want to just quickly thanks. I want to quickly thanks. I'll tell you what. The first time we did the show, I didn't make these kinds of mistakes.
To be fair, the guy's name wasn't up right away.
I was on my game. anyway, Colin Rhodes, thank you so much for your donation.
Yay,
to
Colin.
FThisMovie.net. It is so appreciated in terms of keeping the site running and keeping everything up and going. So thank you very much.
If we ever see Colin, he gets a free hug from me.
Yes.
Although, Colin, we could have used this earlier, so we maybe would have been able to save the
perhaps better recording software would not have lost this episode of Logan. So if you want us to only have to record these shows once, you can go to fthismovie.net. There's a PayPal link there. You could donate to F This Movie. And Mike would be watching The Walking Dead with his wife right now and not talking about Logan for the second time in a row. We're going to try to keep it new and keep it interesting. I'm going to completely reverse my position on the film just to keep you fuckers on your toes. So you're welcome. Adam Thaz, have you seen anything good lately?
I have.
I already know the answers. I'm going to try not to keep making that joke, but listen, we have to
Maybe I can go in a different direction here.
Please do.
Yeah, I think maybe I can talk about, you know, a little bit. I'm gonna say I did see Doctor Strange.
Yes,
I did. And I liked it.
Okay.
It was very nice to see a very hard thing to get to work is Doctor Strange with all the magic stuff, and he's not as much of an action hero in the comics, and they kind of make him a little bit more of an action hero in the comics. So,
have you read a lot of Doctor Strange?
I have not. You know, he was. I was a big Avengers fan. I'll tell you what happened with Avengers. This is going to go off a little bit with comic books, but this happens a lot in the comic book world where all of a sudden they come out with a movie or the comic becomes really popular and they release 30 titles. Like
30 different titles of the same book?
Yes.
Like, so now there's 30 Doctor Stranges?
Yeah, well,
The Fantastic World of Doctor Strange.
Exactly.
The Medical Exploits of Doctor Strange.
And they did
Doctor Strange, on call.
Yeah. I can't perform the surgery if only I could use magic.
Right?
They did that with the Avengers, and Doctor Strange was pretty regular. He's not an official Avenger.
Avengers. Yes. The Mighty Avengers.
Exactly. And it was like right
Avengers
up,
West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers downtime.
It was literally becoming like that, and they were all written by Bendis.
Them playing Xbox.
Or Michael Bendis.
Yeah, and Bendis, and it was
He's cloned himself, right? Yeah. Nobody can write that many books
and
at
it was
a time.
Just like, I stopped. I dropped Avengers because it was like I was getting 30 titles in my you know, box every time I went in there. So I haven't read as much Doctor Strange as I have.
This happened to me, not to go down too far down the comics rabbit hole, but a while back I started picking up some books again, and I've already fallen off again. But I wanted to get back into X-Men, and they had just relaunched X-Men, and there's three mm-hmm. or four different main titles. I'm not even talking about, like, the side universe titles and all that shit, but, like, I couldn't find – I didn't want to have to read all of them because it's just too expensive at, like, $4 a book. Yeah. But no book had, like, the team that I wanted. There would be, like, three – I like three people on this team and three people on this team, but how do I choose one? Yeah, it's bullshit, yeah, it's man.
Like, oh, all right. I got Wolverine, Cyclops, and Dazzler. Yeah. What the fuck is this?
Exactly. I'm always fascinated, too, because I know you just had a second child. Everyone – not just, but probably since the last time we've been on, right?
Yes.
Because the last time we were all on was Star Trek Beyond.
Yep.
And
after
you were –
the growing up nerdle.
Nerdle. See, you make mistakes, too, dude. Nobody's perfect.
I didn't say shit.
So you are not getting out to see many movies yes. unless it's Logan opening night with Mike and not me. But I'm always fascinated, too, because you're such a comic book fan that, like – sometimes there's like 6 months before you finally get around to seeing like the latest.
It's funny because
there was one that was crazy long and I can't remember what it was, but you're like, oh, I just finally saw, what the fuck was it? Ant-Man maybe?
Yeah. No, I saw Ant-Man in the theater with you. I went with you.
Oh, look at, where were you, Mike? you dick.
Wow.
I can't remember what it was, but it was like.
I went and saw that with Nerdle, so.
I was Nerdle, by the way.
He's good. He's pretty good.
He's your animated sidekick, right?
Related to
hey
Meat.
Hey, guys. It's me, Nerdle.
It's related to
Hi
Meat
guys. Boots. It's me, Nerdle. Is this made of what?
Cut it out.
What the fuck just happened? I was so on board for the Nerdle voice. And
you got an
and then you
Joey.
Went, and then you went full Coulier.
Coulier, I'm sorry.
When in doubt, I go full Coulier.
It sounds like a weird sex position.
No, nothing weird about it, my friend.
He's in the middle of fucking me, and he went
he
full Coulier.
He just started doing Popeye.
America's Funniest People or something? Fuck.
Anyway, what were we?
We're overcompensating.
That is of going full Coulier. You overcompensate.
Anyway, what else have you seen besides Doctor Strange? Doctor Strange is like, it's fine. It's good. It's like,
yes.
I was pleasantly surprised while also like, that's exactly what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, it was such a typical origin story. There just was enough different about it. I'm not into like a lot of the mystical cosmic side of Marvel. Yeah. And he definitely leans that way. The movie didn't do a ton of it. There were a few sequences. There was that one sequence that's just like the acid trip scene.
Yeah.
Where he's going through space and time, basically. But I thought there was enough different. There was enough invention. I really liked the final sequence and the way that's all handled. Some really cool visual stuff, but just from a story perspective, it was just Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like it's so the same movie.
Well, and it's like with Thor and this one, I like that they take the mystical stuff and they ground it enough in reality that you're not – it's not too fantastic, that it becomes more just more people can – appreciate it and watch it and understand it.
Are you a fan of Thor the Dark World?
You know what? When I first saw it, I was like, oh yeah, it wasn't terrible. And then that was actually one of them. It was on FX not very long ago.
It often is.
Yeah, and I watched it again, and I was like, this is not as good as
I Okay. I wasn't sure where that was going to go. I was like, so did you Green Lantern this thing, or did you Hellboy 2 this thing?
No.
Where the second viewing, you're like, wait a second!
Well, no, what I mean with Thor was just the original Thor, the first one, making it more scientific, like they're this really advanced race, and that's what makes them magical, rather than making them magical.
Got it.
I think that grounded it in enough way that it became more appeasing to more people.
We did a podcast on the original Thor.
We did.
My only memory of it is you and I just being like, I think I have a crush on Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
Like, that was the big takeaway, right?
That's worn off for me a little bit. Not that I dislike him now, because he's still obviously very charming when he shows up, but I just, it's like the same thing again and again.
Yep.
I ask only because we're going too far down this rabbit hole, but I guess if people are tuning into a podcast on Logan, they want to hear us talk about comic book movies, right? So the thing with Thor and with Doctor Strange is I feel like the filmmaker sat down and said, well, how can I make this just different enough from the other superhero movies? And I feel like Scott Derrickson really did that with Doctor Strange. And with Thor, it's almost like they did more of that in the Dark World, but I don't really like the Dark World.
Yeah.
Right. I agree.
I think, but for me, Dark World...
Dark World doubles down on, like, a lot of the shit, but, like, I'm not as big... I like the first Thor better.
I think what I don't like about the second Thor movie is I just don't think I like the story. I don't think
I don't even
anything.
Remember the story. I saw the movie
same here. Yeah.
Opening night, and I have not watched it since. But this is a recurring theme, and this is something that I'm not going to keep saying. Like, we talked about this before, but, like, so many of the Marvel movies, I mean DC movies too, but like so many of these superhero movies, I get excited for them still to some extent, but they have no like appeal for a rewatch for me. I never feel like, hey, I'm going to put The Incredible Hulk on or Iron Man 3 or any, you know, I just sometimes when like a new one is coming out, I will gear up by watching the previous installments.
Yeah.
Other than that, like they do not come off my shelf.
Right. Same here.
I would agree with that.
Would you say, like, for sure?
For sure.
So besides Doctor Strange, what have you seen?
I finally got around to seeing Arrival.
Yes.
Which I had an experience with that movie that I haven't had since I saw Cloud Atlas, which was almost this... It brought me back just how much I love movies. Like it was just such a. I think I tweeted about it. it was about just kind of this almost a religious experience watching it. It took me to a place where I kind of thought about life and everything differently, and I thought that the twist was something that even as an avid moviegoer, that I did not see coming. I loved it visually. I loved everything about that movie.
Where did you see it?
I saw
Were
it
you in the hospital.
I was in the hospital when I saw that one. I saw it on my iPad.
I think
that's the way to see it.
You're right. Like I think that's
on an iPad in a hospital bed.
I can't think of worse conditions under which to watch that movie.
My point being, like, that's great that it like had that.
It honestly was very uplifting in the sense that. It was the second night I was in the hospital, and the first night, you know, a lot of my family and everybody came out to visit, and then the second night I was in the hospital, there was everybody kind of like had other stuff to do. They were gone
you
early.
You were quickly forgotten.
Yes.
Exactly. Out of sight, out of mind.
My wife was like, let's find another dude.
I'm so glad I could help out in that area,
thank you.
Hold on, also.
Full coolier.
Nerdle? Is that you?
That's me.
Get off of my wife, Nerdle.
When I think of Nerdle, I'm picturing that little dude from She-Ra. do you know what I'm talking about? Glomer? Wasn't his name Glomer?
Orko's He-Man.
Glomer, I'm telling you, is from She-Ra. And the big thing with Glomer was like you had to find him in every episode. He was always hiding.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Thank you, because Mike's looking at me like I'm crazy. You had to find him.
He didn't watch She-Ra. He was too manly.
And so every... Dude, I'm fucking in touch with my shit. So I would always try to... I would start out like, fuck, this is going to be the week where I fucking find Glomer. And then...
Or Nerdle?
10 or 15 minutes in, apparently I would just get so wrapped up in the story of She-Ra that I'm like, I fucking forgot about Glomer. And then at the end, he comes out like, did you see where I was hiding? And it was always some bullshit. It was like, I was... inside this trash can in another state. Like, how would... That's a cheat, man. Like, you got to be out in the open a little bit, Glomer.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I've seen Patrick this upset in a while.
Were you here when the podcast didn't record?
I was here for that.
I kept it under wraps.
You went full Glomer.
You basically stared at the computer.
Made you guys find me.
We went upstairs. Erica, we don't know where Patrick went. Do you know
he's in a trash can in Wisconsin? It's fine. So Arrival is a good movie.
It's an excellent movie. But I'm you know, like, by myself in the hospital, just.
Do you want to talk? I mean, I don't want you to overshare, but you've mentioned like a bunch of times now. Listen. I was in the hospital, everyone. The first five comments are going to be like, oh my gosh, Adam, you were in the hospital?
I'm
are
okay,
you okay?
Everybody. I'm okay. I have Crohn's disease. It was a flare-up from Crohn's disease. I'm okay.
All right. I didn't want you to have to overshare, but people are going to worry, you know.
Yes, I'm okay.
Okay. Thank goodness. Do you still like Green Lantern?
I do.
Okay. Then you're not fully recovered.
Well, the movie or the comic?
Oh, I guess the movie.
The movie? Oh, no. That's still right. A giant piece of shit. So.
All right, then you're fine.
Okay.
What else besides? Oh. How do you feel about Amy Adams not being nominated for Best Actress?
I was indifferent to it. I thought that there was a lot of good people nominated for it, but, I mean, she was great.
She was really good.
Yeah, she was
really good. Should have been nominated. I'm sorry.
She should have, but, I mean,
a lot of stuff from that movie was nominated, and to not nominate Amy Adams to me is bananas, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's the Oscars.
It was a very good movie. She was very good in it.
Yes. What else besides Arrival and Doctor Strange?
I have rediscovered the Star Wars prequels, and I'm doubling down on this because when we were recording I could have skipped over the prequels, but I'm going to double down on this shit.
I promise I would have brought it up.
Let's back up. Attack of Clones is still garbage. Okay. Revenge of the Sith. I still don't like it. There's things I like in that movie. But I have been watching them with my son. He is very into Star Wars right now. And
you're so lucky.
We'll talk about this in a second. But he's super, super into Star Wars. Anything Star Wars right now. And he loves Phantom Menace. Like, loves...
like, beginning to end?
He gets a little bored with when, like, you know, plot happens, but it's, you know, he loves the action sequences and, like, when they're fighting the droids.
Has he asked you at all about Queen Amidala's accent?
No,
why does it stop? Why at one point does it just, anyway?
Why does it just, you know, okay, I did have one question. Okay, since we're just asking weird questions about Star Wars. How the fuck?
Is that what we're doing?
How the fuck does... At any point in the later movies, does Darth Vader in Empire Strikes Back, he sees C-3PO again. Does he not when he's on Chewbacca's back and they go into that room?
I don't know.
Like the dinner? Oh, fuck it. This is going nowhere.
He might. Like, why does he not recognize him?
How does he not, like, I built you, motherfucker. You were at my wedding. Like, how does he not say that?
Yeah, that's one of those questions that... That's good. To be fair, there were people at my wedding that I would not recognize.
Okay.
Even if
there were two people at his wedding. It was
good point. He was 50% of the people there.
Yes.
You know what it was? He was surrounded by all this sand.
And it was coarse.
He just was not into it.
But, you know, my son, as much as I hated Jar Jar Binks, my son totally responds to him.
This is fascinating, though, because this validates... George Lucas's whole thing, which is like, well, I mean, these movies for kids.
Which I believe, my memory, if memory serves me correctly, you were working at a pool when Episode 1 came out, and you said that...
Dude, Jar Jar, all the kids had their Jar Jar Binks shirts
every
on.
Little kid had Jar Jar stuff.
But like that end fight scene with Darth Maul is awesome.
Yeah.
I know they redo it, that same type of, like, battle and a lot of the other ones,
right?
Like, but
never to the same
degree. It's so good.
Yeah, well, again, because there's those moments where they have to wait,
yeah,
which I love.
Well,
I
love how, like, Qui-Gon, like, seems to meditate while Obi-Wan's like,
yeah,
ready to fuck.
And while I would argue that he's basically just Obi-Wan Redux, I think Qui-Gon is maybe the only new character in the entire prequel trilogy that's like interesting.
Yeah.
That,
sure,
like, sticks in my memory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, everybody else is just a placeholder. And I feel like and maybe that's just Liam Neeson bringing some gravitas to the whole thing.
Let's do it.
So let me ask you this. Does your son prefer the prequels to the actual trilogy?
Depends.
Because there is a generation of kids who like that Star Wars for them. The prequels is Star Wars for them.
I will tell you, he does not like Episode 4, Star Wars. There's nothing in that that he really likes to watch. He has made his
too
favorite.
Slow?
Yeah, I think it's too slow in places. His favorite thing in the world is the Battle of Hoth. He will watch the Battle of Hoth.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he will watch that over and over. And the minute Luke flies off to Dagobah, he's like, can we watch that again? Like, he does not want to watch the rest of this stuff. There's your Tauntaun.
Well, I'm busting out impressions.
I thought that was Nurtle.
No, it's Nurtle on a Tauntaun.
Nurtle's inside a Tauntaun?
Then I'll see you in hell.
I can't do the voice.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside,
is also what Nurtle says when he's fucking your wife.
This is made of wood.
So
we're so tired.
We're exhausted.
This is take two of the Logan show.
So, you know, he loves that. He's recently discovered everything in the world is a Sarlacc pit now. He'll throw stuff down the stairs. Here we go. I just opened it up for this one. He'll throw stuff down the stairs and be like,
but the Sarlacc pit is horrible in the special editions, isn't it?
It's awful, but he loves it, man.
Mm. All right.
So the rumor that they're going to re-release the original trilogy,
it has already been debunked.
It's been debunked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Maybe someday, they're saying, but not in the immediate future.
I don't understand why
the 4K wouldn't. That they're working on right now is the special edition.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't understand why they wouldn't?
Yeah. Don't you think they would?
Well, the problem is Disney can't because Fox owns it in perpetuity.
Oh,
they own it forever.
Right. Okay, yeah.
So Disney would have to buy it, which would probably cost more than a small amount of money. That's Disney has it,
right.
but unless they were able to, you know, work on some deal where they do it in kind of joint release,
right.
And it may happen someday, but not anytime soon.
Okay, that makes sense.
Did any point with your kids? Your kids are a little bit older than mine. Did you get a little bit worried with how into something they got into? Because my son is really into Star Wars. Like, every night before we go to bed, I put him in bed and I'm walking out and he's just talking to me about, like, you know, Jabba the Hutt and, you know, like...
I don't know, man. That sounds like a good problem to
say,
have.
That doesn't sound like...
The only thing that my son ever really obsessed over when he was probably around your son's age was, like, Thomas the Train. That's not something we can bond over. That's not something I can share with him. It's something I have to tolerate.
Okay.
It's cute, but it's not Star Wars. Like, that's cool. I tried to turn him on to cool shit. I can't do it.
It's great. I just get a little worried sometimes. But, like, today as I'm walking out, I just put him to bed. I'm like, all right, good night, Beckett. And he's like, Dada, can I ask you a question? And I'm like, yeah. He's like,
did Greedo shoot first?
Yeah.
Since we're talking about obscure Star Wars questions,
it is a little obscure. He goes, Dada, since the snow's going away, does that mean the Wampa goes away?
Oh, nice.
And I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, yeah, there's no Wampa anymore. And that's, he's like, okay. Oh, that was it.
Wow. Just tell him about Santa when you go home while you're at it. Jesus Christ.
So anyway, that's
all
it.
Right,
that's
Phantom Menace, and you're back on the Phantom Menace train. It's still my favorite of the prequels. Mike and I did a podcast on it many years ago. It's a two-parter because back in those days, I was like, we need to split up longer episodes, and now it's like the fucking regular thing. But so everyone can check that out. I'm pretty sure I get very worked up. But it was before we were using these mics, so I don't think I hit them at all, which is good news.
It's my new favorite game here, folks, here at F This Movie, is listen to an episode and see at what point Patrick gets fired up enough to knock the microphone stand or hit the microphone.
It's going to happen, everyone. Mike.
Yes.
Have you seen anything good lately?
Sure. Let's see.
He's got the phone out, folks.
I do. I made a list. The phone
has a Game of Thrones case, in case you guys were wondering.
Winter's coming, y'all.
When does that show come back?
No official date has been set, but it's either the end of June or July.
So it's this year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
For you.
It is.
I don't care.
All right, let's see. I saw Lego Batman. Because the first time around, I don't think I actually talked about it because Adam hijacked it. No, it's fine.
You were in the hospital.
No, your story was. I don't really have a story. I liked
his whole story. Was like, I was. You know what can't be rebuilt, guys? Me. I'm not a Lego. I'm a human with Crohn's disease.
Fuckers! I never said that.
But I thought it.
It was my son's first movie, and we lasted an hour. Okay.
What did you think in that first hour? Because I will say, let me get my thing out of the
way.
Go ahead. I thought it was fine. I really liked the Lego movie. So I was a little disappointed with.
Because he's like one of the funniest parts about the Lego movie.
Yeah, maybe it's just one of those things that he's great as a supporting character. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, there's other problems, I guess. I really liked the Lego movie. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
But I thought that this was fine.
Yeah.
It was like funny enough when it was on as a Batman fan and like, okay, there's a lot of jokes about Batman. Okay, it's done. I never have to think about it again.
Right, exactly.
I think one of the reasons it didn't play well to my son, and I know
no, Star Wars?
Yeah, it was not Star
Wars. Of Star Wars.
But he was very excited. I mean, when he started seeing, he would see like just a trailer of it, or we'd go to Target and there's stuff all over. He was really excited. Like, I want to go see this movie. So I'm like, all right, cool. This is going to be your first movie. We take him to it, and I did make a note of it while I was watching the movie that the beginning part, like, it's hilarious to me. Like, Batman just got done fighting crime and he needs to go eat something. And, like, that part where he's just standing in front of the microwave was hilarious. And I'm listening to the movie theater and it's all parents laughing.
Right.
And, like, my son was just like, okay, I don't get any of this, you know? So there's that.
Yeah. No, I thought it was, I thought it was fine. I saw Lion because I was trying to catch up on. I'm like Erica, like I want to see all the movies nominated for Best Picture. I couldn't get to them all, but in the past week I saw Lion, which I thought was good, not great.
I still haven't seen it. I'm a terrible human.
The little boy, forgive me, I don't remember his name, is wonderful. I like the first half of the movie. I thought was really good. The second half was fine. I thought it was a little rushed. But I thought it's a great story put into a good movie. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like I didn't think it was great, but it's worth everyone's time. I saw.
Is it really long?
No.
That just strikes like every hours. Time I see it. I it strikes me as like I'm going to be doing this for 3 hours. But okay, 2 hours. All right, I can handle that.
Speaking of showing our children movies. Christy and I showed our girls the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I hadn't seen it in a long time. That movie is better than it has.
Curse of the Black Pearl?
Yeah.
It's terrific.
It really is. I forgot.
I love
how,
that movie.
Yeah, I forgot how much I like that movie.
And talk about, again, a movie that I went into with, like, bottom expectations.
Same here.
So cynical.
Yeah, based on a ride.
Based on a ride. I was like, when the fuck did they last make a pirate movie that was any good? It was like Cutthroat Island was the one before that. Johnny Depp, like at that point, was everything was working against it.
Right.
It is terrific.
It is terrific.
It's a great movie, and it spawned so many. Like, I lost track of the sequels.
Well, there's three, and now the fourth one is on its way out.
Fourth and allegedly final.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're claiming
that surprises
that this
me.
Is
although
the
I
one.
Think they just can't afford Johnny Depp anymore, and there's no point in
that could be
doing it without him. I guess, even though he's become one of the less interesting things. I don't know. I remain a defender of the first three.
Sure. Yeah.
I did not like.
I never saw the fourth one.
Oof.
I didn't see it.
Is that on Stranger Tides? I can't even think of what it was called.
I think so.
It's
so
Rob Marshall. It is really not good.
Yeah. Okay.
I will agree with you. Like I've enjoyed, but again, it's one I can't remember what happens in each one. They kind of all.
Well, because it. There's way too much plot in those movies. Like they are overstuffed to a crazy degree and really long. But I'm a fan of the first three.
They're so charming. Everyone's so good in it.
Yeah. Some of my favorite special effects, too.
Yeah, they're really
like,
good.
Like really blends CG in a way that like you're not sitting there thinking, oh, I'm watching CG. Like I love the way that the ghost pirates are designed and executed. I'm such a fan of that movie.
I was thinking of The Princess Bride a little bit, and that when we talked about that movie, how great those sword fights were. And the sword fights in Pirates are wonderful. Wonderfully choreographed, a lot of them. You could tell they're actually doing the sword fight. The score is awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's just that movie is a ton of fun.
Everything's working in that movie.
Yeah, it does. So I could stop there.
Were your girls at all scared of it?
No, and Patrick and I were talking about this in between podcasts, how my oldest daughter is a big scaredy cat, so I'm always like nervous for her, but she was fine. They liked it. It held their interest too.
It's long too.
It is
like
right.
220.
It's not short.
Yeah.
But no, they liked it. But again, it had been quite a while since I'd seen it, and was reminded how really good it is.
Not that I want to keep going back to the kid thing, but I've also been very fascinated with Beckett with his Star Wars, that like he loves the monsters, like he loves the Rancor, and that, like,
yeah, that's
loves
awesome.
The Wampa, loves all that stuff, scared out of his mind of Kylo Ren.
Really?
Like, does not like likes Kylo Ren, like, oh, it's a picture of Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
He's cool looking. But anytime he's on the screen, he just wants to fast forward, doesn't want anything.
Do you think
it
has anything to do with Adam Driver's smoldering intensity?
I think maybe.
Do you think it's scaring him off a little bit?
I would say yes, except he's wearing the mask at the time.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So I think he's a little bit more palatable when he actually has the mask off. When he's emo.
Right.
Kylo.
emo Kylo. Anything else?
I'm good.
If you don't want to talk about Tickled.
I saw Tickled last night. I don't want to say too much about it because I think it's better to go into that movie.
It's been showing up on HBO though, right?
It is on HBO, yes.
So it's probably on like HBO Go and HBO
yes.
Now. Now, did you also see like the 20-minute extra thing?
No.
I don't remember what it's called. Dave Chen on /Filmcast, who is a big fan of Tickled, talked about it because I think it's been showing on HBO. It's essentially like a little 20-minute short that talks about here's what's happened since the movie came out.
Because I immediately went online.
Okay. Because, to see the movie, that would make more sense when you kind of see what they're up against.
Yeah.
If you're not aware of what Tickled is, it, go ahead.
There is a journalist in New Zealand who discovered... Oh, we had really funny jokes about this the first time around. But
this was our Yaki, bro.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, this does not. This movie doesn't have Yaki the Tickler in it, which is fucking bullshit.
But it's about a journalist in New Zealand who discovers that there are competitive tickling.
This was a funny joke. Yeah. We were talking about Adam looking it up online.
Yeah.
Damn it.
There are competitive tickling competitions. So he decides to look into this because he thought it would make an interesting story. That's his thing. He likes reporting on interesting stories, and he very early on when he inquires about it gets a very strange response back, and it leads to again, I don't want to say too much.
You said an interesting thing before where you said like it gets crazy right away.
Yeah, I mean right away,
which is true. And I remember watching it knowing that it was going to get weird at some point, but it happens 15-20 minutes in and you're like, well, where can it possibly go from here?
Right. Did you like it?
I did. I mean, I didn't. I wouldn't say I loved it, right? But I thought it was super interesting and totally worth watching.
And frustrating at the
sure.
same time. I found myself again.
Now I really want to see this, even though it doesn't have Yaki.
Frustrating because no one's ever called you to be in one of the videos.
Well, because
I'm pretty sure you could do it.
No, I didn't say that. please.
What do you think we did after we saw Logan? Yeah.
damn it.
It's very totally
competitive endurance tickling, right?
Yeah,
isn't that what it's called?
Which by the way is my nightmare. I do not
like
being
tickled. Oh my god. Just it's awful.
Yeah.
At one point they're like tied down.
Yeah.
Just that part gives me so much anxiety. Like don't even introduce the tickling yet, just like you can't move. I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Tickled.
Yeah, Tickled. It's good.
On HBO.
Oh, I'm so fascinated by this now. No, I have so many questions.
Well, we can answer none of them.
It's like an hour and a half. It's not long.
It's on HBO.
It's on HBO.
Yeah.
You have HBO, you can watch it when you
get it. It's probably on demand or on HBO Go or you know any of those things that you might use.
Yeah.
No, well, this thing's not going to record anyway, so
you might as well just go.
When the whole thing shits the bed and we've done Logan twice with no podcast, then we can just watch Tickled. I will talk about a couple movies briefly because a few of the things that I want to talk about are movies that I'm going to try to write about. We'll see if that happens. One of them I was going to write about while we were re-recording this, so I have to change my plan. I watched a movie on HBO last night called Mr. Right, starring Sam Rockwell and Anna Kendrick, and it is a wacky, dark romantic comedy that's totally in love with itself about a hitman and an ordinary girl who fall in love. And
that happens all the time.
She doesn't know what he does, and then she finds out, and, well, they better have a talk about it, but don't worry, because whatever. Sam Rockwell is great, as always. Anna Kendrick works for a lot of people. I feel terrible saying anything critical about Anna Kendrick, because our very own Rob DiCristino is in love with her. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I watch Anna Kendrick in movies, I'm like, Anna Kendrick, I find you half as adorable as you find you. And that's a problem for me. But whenever, the movie is garbage and feels like a relic of the late 90s. It's written by Max Landis, who has yet to write a movie that I really like.
What's a movie you kind of like by him?
Well, Chronicle is like not the worst.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff in Chronicle that I like. I'm not Team Chronicle as much as a lot of people are Team Chronicle, but there's good stuff in there. Okay.
Did he just produce Candle Cove? Am I making that up?
No, he's a producer on Candle Cove. Okay. Yeah.
He didn't write it.
So that's, I guess that counts, right? His name is attached to
it. It's attached to it.
Yeah, so I did not like Mr. Right.
Which isn't that the name of an Ellen DeGeneres movie?
That's Mr. Wrong. That's Mr. Wrong. But there's like a Just Right, and then there's a...
I was not making a joke, by the way. I really thought it was
No,
Mr. Right.
Because I think there is another movie called Mr. Right. There's one... I'm going to mix these up.
Got it.
One is called Mr. Right, and it involves like Paul Reiser. It's like in the late 80s. He's like a would-be screenwriter or novelist. Hmm. It's a romantic comedy. It's not great. And then there's another one called Just Right, and that's Jeremy Piven and Sherilyn Fenn. In both instances, Wright is W-R-I-T-E. Do you see what they did there, guys?
I got it.
You can skip all these movies. You're totally fine. what else?
Thank you for explaining that, by the way.
Not a problem.
Because it took me...
Now, is this one in a romantic comedy? Would you classify it as a romantic comedy, or is it an action movie?
It's a hybrid. It's all of those things. It thinks it's like a romantic comedy that's also really violent and stuff. None of the action works. It's not funny. It's not romantic. It's just 90 minutes. I saw Double Indemnity, which I recorded off of Turner Classic Movies. And I was positive that I had seen Double Indemnity, because I know I've seen a lot of Double Indemnity. But as I watched it, I was like, this might be the first time I'm actually seeing beginning to end Double Indemnity. I mean, I'm not going to say anything new about Double Indemnity, except that it's fucking incredible.
Right, it's great.
We were talking earlier about how much I miss... I've been watching some older movies from the 30s and 40s lately. I've just been kind of on one of those jags. And I miss good dialogue, characters who are literate and witty, and who are able to trade interesting lines with one another, because that is, I think, an art that has been lost in a lot of ways. Even good screenplays now don't always have good dialogue. And when they do, we go out of our way to be like, oh, the dialogue's so amazing. I mean, Tarantino has his entire career because, like, he just such good dialogue. But, like, once upon a time, every movie had this really good dialogue.
Yeah.
Billy Wilder writes better dialogue than...
Sure.
Almost anyone.
Right.
I mean, the lines in that movie are amazing. Fred McMurray is like so fucking great. And Barbara, whatever. I'm not going to say anything new about Double Indemnity, because it's been filtered through so many other movies that, like, to see it now, it almost feels unoriginal, but you have to step back and tell yourself, oh, this movie invented all that shit.
Right.
You know?
Right. I went through that, like, speaking of great dialogue in old movies, I saw His Girl Friday for the first time. Maybe. A couple years ago now. Yeah. I was blown away by that movie.
How fast they talk.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so great.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I mean, whatever.
Two more. One, I rewatched a movie called I Am a Ghost, which is, a 2012 independent horror movie made for about $10,000. One location, essentially one actor, this woman who's haunting a house and doesn't quite know why. She's sort of talking to an off-screen voice who's trying to coach her through being a ghost. It's like 70 minutes long. It's super interesting and super effective in terms of what they're able to accomplish with a low budget. It has my favorite, like, opening credits in such a long time. A lot of really cool stuff filmmaking wise. And I bring that up. I rewatched it because I was invited to just do a little appreciation, like a 5-minute testimonial on why that movie's great, for the Splat House podcast. If you're a horror fan or just a podcast fan, check out Splat House. Everybody there is super nice.
And the last movie I'll talk about is one I just watched the other day, and that is the new Walter Hill movie called The Assignment, which began its life as a movie called Reassignment. It played at Fantastic Fest and everyone hated it. It stars Michelle Rodriguez as a male hitman, and you know that she's male because we get graphic shots of her flat chest and penis, and her fake beard and her low voice and her like prosthetic nose. And then she kills someone and Sigourney Weaver is in it and she gets mad. And so she drugs the male Michelle Rodriguez and performs an involuntary gender reassignment. And she wakes up as a female and then decides to get revenge. And all of that stuff sounds so interesting and so batshit. And you're like, how did they make a movie out of that? They basically don't, because at one point she wakes up and she's like, she goes to see a doctor. She says, can you reverse it? He basically says no. She's like, I guess I'm a woman now. And that's the, like, then we live out the rest of the movie with her as a woman. It's so uninterested in like pursuing its own crazy premise, which is a crime for a movie like this. I mean, if you're going to be this crazy movie, you got to commit to it. Yeah. And the movie doesn't quite. It just feels like it's one of those sad movies where you watch the work of a once great filmmaker and it's like, oh, he's kind of, it's Carpenter's the ward. It's My Soul to Take. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, they're trying, but it's just not there
right
anymore. And it's not even really crazy enough to recommend if you're a Walter Hill completist or a Michelle Rodriguez fan.
I'm a completist.
If you've always dreamed of seeing Michelle Rodriguez, both with a dick and without, this is the movie for you. I really wanted to like it more, even as a crazy, like, how did this thing ever get made? But it doesn't even work on that
level.
Why
the title change, do you think?
I mean, it's almost like they're trying to make it sound more generic. Which is bananas when you think about what the movie is. Like, why
it's
try to
reassignment,
trick?
Right. Like,
but also, why trick anyone into, like, we're going to give it this generic title in the hopes that someone will stumble upon it and watch it. Like, at least give them a hint of what's in store.
Right.
Reassignment is such a better title.
Yeah.
And almost like they started there and wrote the script backwards. But whatever. The Assignment is not a title at all. It's nothing. It's like a nothing. It's like a nothing. Anyway, enough about what we've seen. Let's talk about Logan again.
Yeehaw.
And again, we'll talk spoiler free, just our kind of initial reactions to the movie. And then we'll give you a heads up when we get into spoilers, and we'll talk spoilers about Logan. But, Mike, let's start with you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we're changing it up.
Changing the script, everyone. What'd you think of Logan?
I loved Logan. I'm already, like, trying to rework what I said last time. No, I love Logan. I went with Adam, which we have already established.
Why is that?
I don't know why.
Why is that part?
I don't know why I said
when
that.
I loved... Okay, let me ask you this. No. On past podcasts, whenever you've been on the show, and I've been like, hey, Mike, what'd you think of On Her Majesty's Secret Service, or what'd you think of Thor, or whatever show you're on to talk about, never are you like, here are the conditions under which I saw it. But tonight, you feel it necessary to rub my nose in that shit.
I have the guiltiest conscience in the world, so I will just blurt out when I'm like... I gotta get this out. I just gotta get this out.
Imagine you, like.
Did you feel guilty at all when you tweeted it out? When you're like, here we are.
No, because I didn't. I just thought, like, hey,
so sorry. He tweets it out. And he's all excited. He's like, we're gonna support the podcast. We're gonna do this. And we get done with the movie, and we're watching the credits, and he goes, Patrick just yelled at us. I'm like, what? He's like, Patrick yelled at us because we didn't invite him.
I just thought it was a weird move, but it's fine. Listen.
I love Logan. It's my favorite comic book movie in quite a while.
Since Guardians of the Galaxy, would you say?
Is
Guardians of the Galaxy still your favorite of all time?
Did I say? You know, I was wondering.
I don't know.
I'm the one who said that.
Every time we do this,
I feel like I switch my order
everything.
All the time.
Right.
Guardians
is your favorite ever?
It is my favorite ever now.
Okay.
It might be my favorite.
If it's not Guardians, what is it?
I love Hellboy too. I'm not gonna lie.
Hellboy too.
I love Logan.
God, I love it every time you say it.
I love Unbreakable. I love The Dark Knight. I love Spider-Man 2. So that is at 6. I just gave my top 6.
That's fine.
Anyway, I really loved
and podcast Logan. Done.
You loved it?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
Adam.
It was fantastic. I loved every moment of that I was watching the movie. Just that it exists makes me happy, and the fact that it does such a great course correction from where we started with the giant pile of shit that was X-Men Origin Wolverine, and
even the title is garbage.
Right, everything
it is. Every single thing about it.
It's
bad.
So hard to say some of the like. I get cringe every time I have to say Batman v Superman. Like,
Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, Dawn of Justice. I don't even want to say Dawn of Justice.
I can handle Batman v Superman. Yeah. It's the Dawn of Justice that makes me want to put an ice pick in my
head. Was the idea that they were going to do X-Men Origins?
Yes.
Other characters.
Magneto was supposed to be next,
I
believe.
Remember that. Okay.
And they quickly abandoned ship, and I don't even totally know why, because X-Men Origins Wolverine was very successful financially,
right?
But no one liked it, so right. I wonder if that's why.
Yeah, nothing about that movie is good.
Well, here's something interesting, and I don't think this is a spoiler, because it's made its way online already. I guess this is a slight spoiler if you literally want nothing spoiled, including what happens before the movie even starts. Fast forward about 2 minutes. Before Logan runs, Fox has attached a little mini teaser for Deadpool 2.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, it's fine. It's funny. There's a version online that's actually a little bit longer. But I thought it was interesting because now we're watching this teaser for Deadpool 2, which is a sequel to this movie that made a shit ton of money. It was one of the highest grossing movies of last year, I believe. It was nominated for Golden Globes. It was a huge success, right? Right in front of Logan, which is proven to be a very successful Wolverine movie and made a bunch of money and people are loving it. I saw one person tweet out like today or yesterday, like, if Logan doesn't win, if Logan isn't nominated for a bunch of Academy Awards next year, they shouldn't even have Academy Awards. Uh-huh. And I'm like, can we all... The Oscars were, like, last weekend. Do we need to, like, the next movie that comes out, we need to be like, you should win all the awards. Like, we got a whole year's worth of movies coming. Anyway. So we have the trailer for this one theoretically good thing right before this other really good thing. Both of those things were born out of X-Men Origins Wolverine. Yeah, yeah, you have Ryan Reynolds playing shitty
movie.
Deadpool and Hugh Jackman, unfortunately, stranded in a terrible Wolverine movie. And yet now it has spawned these two very successful...
And
things
like is this the best course correction that I cannot remember a course correction better than this with any type of movie franchise. I mean, you could make
it was
interesting for some Bond.
I was going to say I would off the top of my head like Casino Royale coming off of Die Another Day. It's pretty good,
and it's almost not fair because this was over two movies.
Yeah, the Wolverine was good.
If this was the sequel to X-Men Origins Wolverine. Yeah, I think you can make a case there. But the Wolverine was like a really good run-up to this. Again, I think that's a mostly good movie. I rewatched it last night in anticipation of seeing Logan. And I like most of that movie, you know. And it was also interesting because I watched the version I bought on Blu-ray is the extended cut, which is like the rated R cut, basically. So it's a little more violent, a little more cursing. And at the time when it came out on Blu-ray, I don't know, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, it was like, whoa, this is like hardcore Wolverine. Right. And now today we have Logan. Right. And it's all just cursing and limbs being hacked off.
It's just it makes me I love comics. I love all comics. I love Marvel comics. But I'm a DC guy through and through. I know you. Every time I bring that up, you have to lament.
DC comics are totally fine. I'm frustrated with the movies.
And
I know,
I know
you're making a distinction. I know you're not saying you love the movies, but
I just like what? How can one studio get so many things right, and one studio get so many things wrong?
I don't know.
And like, and now you have the blueprint to a movie that sucked or a franchise that sucked, and now you've made it good to the point where people are tweeting out that it needs Academy Awards,
right.
You know? Like,
well, and people probably tweeted that out after Batman v Superman, too.
I promise
people
you they did.
Fucking idiots. but it's just so frustrating to me that, like, all I want is a good DC movie, and time after time they fail at it. So it just, it's so great that Logan's so good, and it makes me so happy for comic books. It makes me so happy for movies and the genre. But it still just makes me so angry at this thing that I love. So I just get so getting worked up. All right, I'll stop. I'm going to hit a microphone stand.
So here's a question. I also liked Logan quite a bit as well. Here's a question. Does the success of Logan open up doors for other filmmakers to make superhero movies that are less beholden to conventional superhero movies?
I would hope so. I would hope that that's the big takeaway from this.
Between this and Deadpool, yeah.
But I hope...
Deadpool, though, is a traditional superhero movie. I mean, it's barely a movie. The only thing that Deadpool does different is the tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what makes that movie fun. And, you know, they swear and there's dirty talk and there's violence and stuff. But that's essentially just tone.
Yeah.
In terms of structure, in terms of the story that it's telling, I mean, it's every superhero movie, you know? Uh-huh. And this isn't, I don't think. And so does it open up the doors for...
I would hope that's a lesson that's learned.
But is it only possible? Is Logan only possible because it's a filmmaker and an actor with a relationship, because they made the Wolverine together. They made Kate and Leopold mm-hmm. together. Adam, your favorite. And and because they've already established, like, okay, this is going to be the last one. And so there's a license to do things, I think, here.
Yeah, that's true.
That they couldn't do otherwise. So they can tell a certain kind of story under the pretext of we're making the finale.
Right.
That maybe they couldn't do if they were just doing, okay, here's another right. installment of Doctor Strange.
They couldn't do because you think the studio would want them to what? To be...
To not mess with the brand too much, yeah. To have to keep the franchise afloat, you know, to continue to be a piece, as we were talking before, to be a piece of a larger puzzle,
yeah.
Which Logan isn't really beholden to do.
Right.
That's what I, as you're talking about this, what I keep thinking about is Ant-Man.
Okay.
Where there was a script and a person in place who was going to do something different, and the studio got involved and needed a certain thing. So I don't know. I'm not anything in Hollywood. I just read from the outside. But
whoa, back up.
Yeah,
Adam,
literally have been on this podcast.
What are you doing?
Because you constantly refer to yourself as a Hollywood insider.
I am.
So how is this how I'm finding
out? La La Land was loosely based off my life.
So you white-splained jazz?
I did.
Is white-splaining a thing? I don't know.
It
I
is
think
now.
Now you can just put anything in front of splaining. You just ant-splained Ant-Man.
I did.
Ant-Man, you know, the version of Ant-Man that we didn't get, I think, like Deadpool, would have just been one of tone.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that my problem with the Peyton Reed one, which is fine, is that, like, the tone isn't that different. It's one of these that's, like, it's so familiar. I would almost put it in the same category as, like, Doctor Strange, where it's, like, it's this movie that we've seen 50 times with just enough differences to make it palatable.
Interesting.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But I'm wondering if one of the reasons I'm responding to Logan and Guardians of the Galaxy so much is because they feel removed from the other movies in their franchise. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, as I sit here, I feel like I want more movies that, yes, are not beholden to the movies that come before and after it. I would love like one-shot stories.
But let me ask you this, because you say it is removed, and we haven't even really gotten into like the discussion of Logan yet. This is all kind of theoretical, but you talk about you want movies that are kind of removed, but doesn't
maybe
a lot of the success of Logan in terms of our response to it have to do with the fact that he's been playing this part
absolutely
for 17 years? Because we talk sometimes about like on Her Majesty's Secret Service and how we keep saying like, oh, if that had been Connery, this would be the best Bond, right?
Sure.
Because of what we've been through with that character and where he would land at the end of On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
100%. I'm just saying I don't need it to be Yes, Logan would not have worked for me had I not lived with these characters and fallen for these characters. However, I still don't need it to be to fit into this puzzle. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't.
Yeah,
need it
oh
to
yeah,
be,
for sure. For sure.
That's what I'm trying to say. So yeah, like absolutely. If I didn't already have this relationship with Hugh Jackman's version of Wolverine, then
is it
would
yeah,
not
it's
have
almost like does this separation of tone work because the tone. Had been set that there's a tone to break. I'm just like talking in circles.
Well,
here,
right.
Like, what came first, chicken or the egg? You know?
Well, it differentiates itself by not feeling like the X-Men movies.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the movie a lot, and I'll repeat myself a little bit in terms of saying, like, I think the thing that I like best about it, aside from the fact that it's just a well-made movie that gives me a lot of the things I like, which is that it's like kind of spare and really violent, and there's cool action, and there's a guy with claws on his hand, you know, who's a badass, and like I like all that stuff. But it made me happy because Hugh Jackman has lived with this part for so long and has kept this character alive through good and bad.
Yep.
He's the guy who has really carried the torch for this for 17 years now. And even when X-Men Origins came out and was terrible, he was out there promoting it, trying to make it happen, trying to get a solo Wolverine movie. And then when that one sucked, he tried to make sure, you know, he's a big part of why it kind of course corrected. And he was like, listen, I want to make the Wolverine movie that people deserve because I know we kind of fucked it up last time. And so... the decision to collaborate with James Mangold and then to collaborate with him again on this movie, I'm just so happy to see it be so successful, to be such a good movie, to see it being received so well by so many people, just as a really well-earned victory lap.
One of the other things that I was so happy about with this movie is, as someone who grew up reading comic books, Adam and I have talked about a million times on the podcast and in our and growing up nerdy how we literally
it's called growing up nerdle.
Growing up nerdle. We spent literally every day for years at a comic book store. Like my life was movies and comic books. And since as I've gotten older, the comic book part has not totally gone away. I still like going to cons and I'll pick up books every once in a while. But for the most
part.
But
now those two worlds have merged because all the movies come from comic books.
Right. There is that. But
We had steel.
but a movie like Logan, I leave the theater and I'm like, I think Wolverine's like my favorite character. And like, I immediately, you know, go home and start, you know, pull out my Grant Morrison new X-Men books and started reading again. Like that. And that was one of the things that this movie gave me that I was very excited about. It'll go away in a week, I'm sure. But at least for now, it's super fun. Like I'm the comic book guy again. And I love it. It reminded me. Why? I mean, I honestly, I do love Wolverine and Logan. And,
well, who doesn't?
Right.
Well, I mean,
right.
I'm sure there are people who don't. But one of the things that I will say I like about Logan specifically, and to a lesser extent, the Wolverine, which I also really like, it's very easy, I think, to make a cool Wolverine movie.
Yeah, of course.
Because he's just the guy who gets to be cool. He gets to say bub, and he gets his one-liners, and he kills people with claws, right? And I remember in the X2... there's that attack on the mansion.
Yes.
And it was like the best scene in the movie.
Yes.
Because there's a ton of action, and it's really the first time we see
Wolverine yeah.
kill somebody with his claws. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, that just happened in a movie. And we still had to wait two movies for that. And now here we are in Logan, and he's just hacking people. Like, anyway, we'll get to that in spoilers. But just limbs are cut off and heads, and there's claws through faces, and people get fucked up. I won't say that Logan doesn't punish you for loving Wolverine. I mean, it rewards you for loving Wolverine, but it does go out of its way to say, like, it's not cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I really like that because, again, in the X-Men movies, he tends to be the cool guy, you know, and they end up making him the leader, essentially, by X3. But this movie spends a lot of time saying, like, actually, being Wolverine is not cool. It sucks.
Yes.
It's lonely and it's painful and it's filled with loss and death and injury. And you regret everything you've done. It just haunts you all the time.
Yep.
And it's also what I like about it, too, is it kind of has like this almost vampire movie feel to it in the sense that he's lived for so long
right,
and just like how... you know, it explores it a little bit in the Wolverine, in the sense of this immortality that he has, and what it does immortality mean, and being able to heal and not age, and like just how miserable that existence is.
I mean, even X-Men Origins Wolverine, which has been established, is a garbage fire. Jumps through decades, if not centuries. I mean, like, we see him in vastly different time periods, and yet that movie had no concept of what it means to have been alive then and now. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is really... Yeah. I agree with you to some extent that Wolverine does it, but I think Logan is really the first movie to kind of acknowledge, like, how much it sucks to, like, have been alive for so long.
Right.
How hard that is. And not just with Logan, but also with Charles Xavier, I think, that it takes a... Time takes a toll, you know, basically.
Mm-hmm. I don't have the best memory in the world, but I can't get over how little...
You saw
little...
it just with Adam. I wasn't there.
How little I remember of X-Men Origins Wolverine.
It's
like, I remember none of
I saw it.
It
the Sunday it opened, and I haven't seen it since. I just remember not liking it at all. Like, at all.
Right.
Like,
you already...
I remember walking out of that movie and finding nothing that was anywhere redeemable about it.
Not at all. And I got in, like, not an argument, but I saw it with JB and his wife, and he was like, I don't know, I had fun. And I was like, well, then we have different ideas of fun. And he said, like, I think you were expecting too much from it. I said, don't make this my fault. Like, that movie sucked. Like, that's not fair to say that... the burden is on me for having high expectations. Like, that movie was terrible. We had now, I think in 2017, he does not remember seeing that movie, much less sort of liking it as we walked out. He's like, what? I never saw that movie. No, I sat next to you, goddammit.
I remember just that one being so offended that, like, oh, look, there's the White Queen and Cyclops. They're going to be in this movie. And, like, that scene you saw in the trailer, that was all they were in the entire movie.
And that's... And
White
that,
Queen's in it?
White Queen's in it for like a second as the diamond White Queen.
Right. Before January Jones plays her in...
With so much life.
With so much life. Well, that's the thing is, like, and the X-Men movies have done that a lot, unfortunately, mm-hmm. where it's just like, oh, hey, here's Jubilee. Let's throw that away. It reminded me so much because when Deadpool shows up, and again, I did not grow up with an attachment to Deadpool because I think he came...
Most people didn't.
Well, I think he came... He's like a 90s guy, right?
Yeah.
Think I was out of comics, really, by the time Deadpool became a thing. So, yeah.
Like, this version of Deadpool was after...
Yeah, Deadpool was around in the 90s, but this like, fourth wall, like, kind of smartass was not really his... thing until
start out like that.
Yeah.
Well, so I bring it up because I know at the end of X-Men Origins Wolverine, we get a version of Deadpool, right? But not really. And so it was like, it's Fox using the name and trying to cash in on, like, look, Deadpool's in this movie, but getting it completely wrong. It reminded me, and they've done this a lot, but it reminded me of, like, when I was a kid growing up, when they made those Incredible Hulk TV movies.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my God, Thor and Daredevil's going to be in one? Like, two comic book characters instead of just one? And then you watch it and Daredevil is in, like, black spandex and a sleeping mask and he's not Daredevil. And you're like, what the fuck is this? You can't just call a guy Daredevil. And that's essentially what they did. They Daredeviled Deadpool in that movie. Anyway, let's get into spoilers for Logan. If you don't care about spoilers or if you've already seen the movie, please feel free to continue listening. Otherwise, turn it off and come back after you've seen the movie.
Go see it.
We will be spoiling Logan in 3, 2, 1. Thank you for supplying that sound effect.
That was my groove is in the heart.
Let's 1, 2,
yeah,
3. So let's start at the end.
Okay.
The death of Logan. How did you guys feel about it? Were you moved? Did you like the way that it was handled?
I loved it.
Okay.
I think it is one of the more memorable and almost perfect, like, final lines of a character. especially one that has been around for 17 years. Mm-hmm. I originally, this is so weird, like saying stuff that we've already said.
What can you do?
But it was when I first saw it, I was not sure if, because what exactly is the line? It's, so this is what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what it sounds like. When doves cry.
Yes, okay.
He quotes Prince, and I was like, I did not.
And I was like, I'm a fan of this movie.
I did not peg Wolverine as a Prince fan.
She wore raspberry.
You're my little red Corvette.
You could say she was a sex fiend. Bub. You just gotta stick bub at the end of it. Fucking Logan goes, darling Nikki, I did not see that coming.
What did Wolverine say before he died? Something about masturbating with a magazine? I don't know. He was delirious.
And then the other X-Men show up. I get delirious. So,
X-Men dance number at the end of Logan.
Yes. So here we go. We took this emotional moment at the end.
I take it back. I don't like the ending. There was no... X-Men dance?
There was no X-Men dancing. There was no Prince. This is bullshit. I originally thought that when he said, so this is what it's like, that he was...
I can't think of anything else now. Him quoting When Doves Cry. So this is what it feels like, right? This is what it feels
this
like?
This is what it's like.
Yeah.
I think this is what it feels like.
This is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was because of his daughter, like this is what it feels like to love somebody like that. But then I thought after the movie was over, I was like, okay, well, no, because he felt that way about Jean Grey, and he's felt that way about Rogue and other characters. So why would this one be any different? Well, I mean, it's his daughter, you know. But
and X-Men Origins Wolverine gives him like a longtime girlfriend, right?
Yes,
Lynn Collins plays somebody that he's like in love with.
So
you remember so much of
he's not. I don't remember anything until he says it. And then I'm like, oh yeah, that did happen.
I need to tell you guys something.
When did you last watch it?
Oh my god, this is the Avatar confessional.
I've seen it so many. No, I really have only saw. I only saw it the one time. I just want to pretend like I won. Do you remember that night we were like, it was like a Black Friday and we were at Walmart and it was like $5 on Blu-ray and I was like, you got to talk me out of buying it because like the completist in me wanted to have it, but I still don't own it. Thank God.
So the completists. I don't know what it's like for you guys. I can do it. I know you guys can. I'll just pop in a movie and watch a scene.
Stop it right now. Nope. Stop it.
I can do it.
You're a monster.
So the more I thought about it, though, like I thought it was, oh, so this is what it's like to die. Like, mm-hmm. This is what it's like to see the end of it.
I hate Patrick.
That's the theme of the podcast.
I hate Patrick so much.
God damn it.
So
yes, Adam, I'm with you. That's what I thought as well.
What's the movie? Never mind.
So it was.
Help me out. It's somebody who's like immortal. No, I'm serious. It's like somebody who's immortal. And right before, it's fucking Pirates of the Caribbean. We were just talking about it. This is what it reminded me of. Was this is what it feels like. Jeffrey Rush's last line in Pirates of the Caribbean is, I feel, and he doesn't finish, but you're like, oh, just he feels, period. Like, he gets to die finally, and it's very reminiscent of that moment.
Yeah, it's so
this movie ripped off Pirates of the Caribbean, I guess is what I'm saying.
Bogan's bullshit.
I hated when X-23 was like, try wearing a corset! Why are they putting a corset on her? She's so young.
So anyway,
but she said it on Espanol. Anyway, continue.
I'm trying to get serious.
I almost wish we did have a recording of the other one, and I would just put out both of them so you could hear different jokes. Now with different jokes.
So it was a very emotional, you know, great ending. I did get a little emotional. I know that you said Erica was...
She was, like, sobbing and actually texted me when we were recording the first time and said that she looked at something online and was sobbing again.
Oh, see, yeah, I didn't
She is always... And I don't even think it was, like, just she's sad that Logan is dead or whatever. I mean, she definitely has an attachment to Hugh Jackman. She's always loved, and she has always... Wolverine has always been her favorite. And I was kind of her entry point into all this stuff because she was cool and social until she met me. And it was like I dragged her to see X-Men 5 times. And that was very early
She's
on.
Like, fine, I'll marry you. I'll marry
when
you.
When we like started dating, we were going to see X-Men all the time. So I guess for it to come full circle now, unless do you guys think she reads it as a metaphor and like our marriage died today? Oh, my God.
This is getting getting real.
Right? What if I go upstairs and hold her hand? She's
what
like,
if this is what it's so like, when, what doves it feels cry, like. When doves cry?
It's like, oh, shit.
I'll be right back.
God damn it, Nerdle. Swooping right in. God, the body's not even cold, Nerdle, and you're fucking my woman. Nerdle, you son of a bitch. Hiding in that garbage can this whole time.
How could you leave me standing? Alone in a world that's so cold.
That's what X-23 should have said to
that's
him.
That's right. This is going off the rails.
Oh, for sure. Listen, it's very late. We've done this once already. I liked that scene a lot. I will say the scene that worked the most for me emotionally was the funeral. For two reasons. One, because that adorable... chubby little black mutant was holding the Wolverine doll, which I thought was such a nice... That's his mutant cute. Power is just that he is precious. Let's face it. Also, electricity. But mostly, he's really cute.
I don't know if I want to put this on a recording, but it was adorable watching him run.
Right?
He was like, oh,
he was
go
fast as hell.
Right? I was like, go.
Right. He's like a little chubby. I'm not as chubby as him. I could not go that fast at all.
And then throw on electric powers on top of it.
Yeah, well, we're a tie there, but that's fine. So I just thought that was such a nice touch because, again, I like how much of this movie acknowledges the history of the X-Men. That so much of the movie, in addition to being about Logan growing old and facing the end and what that's like, so much of the movie is about almost the history of the X-Men and their place in the world, that everyone is familiar with them. You know, it's not like other superheroes where, like, it's a secret identity and all that shit. Everybody knew who the X-Men were. They all know who Logan is everywhere. Even the bad guys are like, I'm a fan. Like, everyone is sort of pro X-Men. Yeah. There's comic books and toys, and it's all about kind of what happened, where, you know, all the mutants are gone now, and Logan is, you know, left standing in a world that's so cold. And... maybe he's just too demanding, you know?
Yeah. Maybe he's just like his father.
Maybe X-23 is just like her father.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Too bold. Snickety snoinked. So I loved that. But then the thing that I loved most of all, which really, you know, carries that whole message in terms of being about the legacy of the X-Men and them as a symbol of something greater, is when X-23 takes the cross. And as soon as it was amazing to me that it didn't occur to me until she started to turn. As soon as she started to turn it, I was like, oh, fuck, that's powerful.
Right.
And then I admired so much how long James Mangold, like, holds on that shot.
Yeah.
We didn't need, you know, a big funeral, a long goodbye. I can think of other movies, even spoilers, I guess, for, Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
Douche chills. Okay.
That goes on for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's not fucking permanent. Like, even right, by the time the credits roll, they say, like, just kidding. This time we know it's permanent, and yet they don't draw it out. We just get that scene, and really that shot says everything that needs to be said about this character and this franchise and what it all has meant, both to the people in the world of the movie and to us in the audience.
I think it's going to be fascinating to see what Fox does now.
Something bad.
With
they're going to fuck something up.
With the character of Wolverine in the future. Because, I mean, he's not going away. For sure. Like, I think we will we'll have.
You think they'll just recast Wolverine?
What are they? You think they'll not have a Wolverine in a movie? You know what I mean?
I think it's possible.
Maybe not for, I think that's. I would be.
Isn't that
very
the whole
surprised.
Purpose for X-23 though? Isn't it? Well, but here's the problem: is that X-23 is in a different timeline, right? Because she's way in the future.
Right.
Oh, so
right,
it's not
right,
like for the next X-Men Supernova. I don't think that's right. But something like that.
Right.
Where they're doing Dark Phoenix, essentially. They can't just throw X-23 into that because she doesn't exist yet.
I just think he's so popular of a
I agree.
Character
yeah.
that I'd be surprised if we don't somewhere down the line see another person playing.
One of the other problems you have is just publishing rights and things like that, that eventually if they don't put Wolverine in another movie, they paid this money for this character, that they're not going to be able to hold on to it. And that's something that's really hard to...
Is that true, though? Like, if they own the X-Men and they exercise the option on the X-Men few years...
Okay, that might... Yeah,
I don't know, because that's the whole Quicksilver Scarlet Witch thing, right. is mm-hmm. like, they were allowed to put Quicksilver in a movie... And so was Marvel, but they couldn't call him Quicksilver because he's both an Avenger and an X-Men. I mean, it's super weird. Right. By the way, at some point, everyone has been an Avenger, so I don't know how they can... Right. Anyway, I don't know how any of that works.
Okay.
I mean, part of me is like, how could they ever?
Well, right, which I guess is my point. I'm not saying I can't wait or
clamoring. But people probably said that
Wolverine.
About Bond, right, when Connery was like, I'm done.
Right.
And they were like, don't worry, here comes Lazenby.
I think it'll be, if I were betting man, I'd say at some point down the line, we will get another Wolverine. And I'm just
will
curious.
It, like, will it devalue this movie, you think?
I don't in the way that, or I hope not, but in the way that, Michael Jordan becoming a wizard didn't devalue him to me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's like when Peter David stopped writing Incredible Hulk. Like
it is. I mean, it's exactly like
well,
that. What are you talking about?
And Peter David has one of the most historically long and amazing runs with his run at Incredible Hulk. It was
Joe Fixit, right? I got it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, for real? Yeah. I was joking.
No,
he was part of that.
He was
part of all of that.
Oh, I was trying to name what I thought was a bad period in Hulk.
No, he actually kind of saved the character with that type of stuff.
Well,
Hulk as Vegas Enforcer? This is what we're holding up as?
Well, this doesn't have to turn into a Peter David podcast, and I don't know if Joe Fixit was part of this, but he had a long run on Hulk, and there's a part of it that is... considered to be not so good, and apparently he was going through a divorce at the time, and that affect whatever. I'm like making excuses for Peter David, but my point is,
do you think this podcast is going to start to suffer now that Eric is going to leave me because Logan died? She's not going to leave me. Everyone, everything's cool. Okay, stay the fuck away, Nerdle.
I'll be right back.
Get down here,
like a buzzard just swarming overhead.
Whatever, yeah, Peter David, go ahead.
Yeah.
But you know, Peter David got done with Hulk, and did it change the book? Yes, but it doesn't make people not be Incredible Hulk fans all of a sudden just because somebody else is in charge of what's happening with it. You know, like, Hugh Jackman's done, you know, like, he's not going to do it anymore, but that doesn't mean that another reboot can't save this. Or,
yeah. Yeah, I guess. And we've already seen it happen. Obviously, we're on our third Spider-Man now. And there's no part of me that's like, I'm not going to give this Tom Holland kid a chance. Tobey Maguire is my Spider-Man.
Same here.
Andrew Garfield is my Spider-Man. I couldn't get through it with a straight face. but he's not the problem with those movies. Whatever.
He's not.
But I just... Hugh Jackman, first of all, no one else has played Wolverine, you know, like even in his little cameos in all the X-Men movies or whatever. And I don't know. There's just he has an ownership of the role that I don't feel like every other character has, like, in these movies.
Oh, what's that for sure? No,
that doesn't sound like you.
Absolutely. I agree.
Almost to the detriment of his own career, I think, because he's made other stuff, but I don't feel like much of it has been super successful. People are like, we just want to see you as Wolverine, okay, right. Pretty boy. Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I will miss him, though. Because yeah. even when X-Men movies weren't working, he was usually my favorite part of whatever movie.
He committed to everything. Yeah. And again, even X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is not good. Like, he committed. He tried. Yeah. You know, he did what he could to make that movie work. I like that, you know, the big story when the movie was coming out was, well, they're doing an R-rated Wolverine movie. Finally, he's going to be able to swear, and it's going to be violent. And he swears a lot, and it's violent. And in the first couple minutes, it's a little bit jarring when the first words are him saying, like, fuck. But I admire the fact, and I respect the fact, that the movie doesn't go out of its way to be shocking or to be like, look how R-rated we can get, which is the joke of Deadpool. You know, that's kind of right. what they do in Deadpool. And they get away with it because that's part of the fun of it, quote yeah. unquote. But this movie just is like, we're going to be R-rated because we are a movie about adults and we're going to be made for adults. And that's nice because, again, so many of these superhero movies are very much pitched, like most Hollywood films, blockbusters particularly, at, you know, 14-year-old boys. Which isn't to say that 14-year-old boys won't like Logan, but it's a movie made for adults.
Yeah, right. It when we went to go see the movie, there was a kid in front in front of us who was maybe like 10 years old. And this movie, right off the bat, it announces that we are not fucking around here yeah. in this movie. And it's like, I just like right after that first fight scene where he cuts off limbs and slices people's heads off, I just was thinking, like, as a parent, would I get up? Would I be like, okay, we're leaving, right. you know?
Or somebody should have said something. In fact, somebody might have. Had they been there, somebody might have had the good sense to be like, you know what, sir, for your sake and your child's sake, I feel it's best if you leave. The Lego Batman movie is literally playing next door. Perhaps that's more appropriate.
He wonders why we didn't take
it. And yet no one stood up.
I was going to say, my first thought was, there's a ton of empty seats in this theater. Like, we could have invited someone. But yeah, no, I did think of that kid.
It does not mess around, and it is super violent.
It announces
violent.
What kind of movie it's going to be. But Patrick's absolutely right. It doesn't it treats us like an adult. It doesn't. It's not doing things like, hey, we have an R rating, so we're gonna, you know, throw fucking everything in the kitchen sink into it.
Well, the violence is gratuitous because, to an extent, violence always is, right?
Yes.
And so it's definitely trying to find ways for, like, what are some different ways Wolverine can jam his claws into a human body? Through the chin? Yeah, sure. Through the face? Okay, yeah. And that's fine. But I also think that it is part of the movie's tone, which has to do with violent people leading violent lives who die violently, and yeah. that the movie is very kind of brutal in the way that it, in its outlook on the world. It's a character who can't find peace, you know? So for it to be brutal in the violence, I think works in a way that doesn't just feel sensationalistic, isn't just like, let's take our rating out for a spin.
No,
where it's an aesthetic choice that makes sense for the story that's being told in the character.
Right, 100%.
It almost becomes when I'm watching it, it's not post-apocalyptic. It's not dystopian, and but it almost has some of that feelings.
Right.
Of like loss and just everything's,
because post-apocalyptic, there's always that sense of, right, like you said, loss, or just this idea of, like, there's so much bad shit behind us that got us to here. And that's yes. what this movie feels like. It's not post-apocalyptic in the way it is, but it does totally have that feel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I think is, you know, because he's obviously very influenced by Westerns. We had said earlier, you know, he's remaking Shane, and in case you didn't know, he puts Shane on the TV at one point. But so many of those post-apocalyptic movies are essentially just Westerns transplanted to a desolate wasteland, you mm-hmm. know, that it's still just a Western, and that's very much the model that he's following. You had we were talking earlier about Hacksaw Ridge, a movie that's insanely violent, and to me,
that violence feels sensationalistic.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's rooted in real life tragedy. Mm-hmm. It's Mel Gibson saying, like, war is hell, and look how brutal it is, and look at how people die. And yet, the whole time, I just could feel a filmmaker standing behind the camera being like, more death, more violence, more mutilation. And I never felt that in Logan.
No, not at all.
And because it's also part of you, it's showing what a movie a competent filmmaker and writer can do, because with Hacksaw Ridge, part of me wants to say, oh, well, it's Wolverine. He's got claws that comes out. Like, of course it's going to be violent. Like, you have to make this movie violent. But we had the Wolverine, which wasn't as violent. It was still very good. And you have a war movie that feels gratuitous. And it's a war movie. Of course there's going to be violence in it. So it just shows, like, when you establish a tone and you establish you know, characters that you care about, and when the violence happens to them, you, like, really feel it, and it just shows what a strong movie it is altogether.
And I didn't realize this until I was seeing the movie today, because I, more and more, I'm just backing away from all promotion and, like, knowing anything about the movie. I mean, I see a couple trailers here and there, but I didn't know that Scott Frank was a co-writer on the movie.
No, I didn't know that either.
And so, kind of right away, you know you're in good hands. Mm-hmm. Because he's fucking great.
So let's go to the what I think is the most violent scene, though, is the farmhouse scene.
Yes,
to me, because where in all the other parts of the movie, you almost feel like the violence is happening to people that deserve it.
Right.
That is the one time where violence is happening to people who are completely innocent to it,
and it does not pull any punches, even with the way the I was thrown off when I saw that scene. And we should talk about Charles Xavier, and this is where he dies, which again, I went into the movie expecting. I think when Wolverine died, or when Logan died at the end of the film, I was like, that's fitting, that works. When Charles Xavier died, I think because it wasn't in the way that I was expecting, like what the fucking The Last Stand, which kills him off, to me, that seemed more fitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A death for him. And I don't even like that death, and they bring him back, and, you know, they retcon all that shit. But, like, when it happened, I was like, yeah, okay. Because there's a sacrificial element, and there's something that feels big about it. And this is, like,
he gets stabbed when he's, like, almost helpless.
Right. Well, he's always helpless, but he's essentially, like, sleeping. Yeah. Like, he's almost like just more collateral damage instead of it being this big moment where Wolverine's like, no, you know, like Michelle Rodriguez finding out she no longer has a dick, which, by the way, is me every single morning. I look in the mirror and I just go, no.
That's right. Come in.
God damn it. So I was so confused by that scene, though, because they introduce X-24, who's played by Hugh Jackman with a different haircut, and I was not understanding what was happening because we hadn't seen the character, and I was positive that it was some sort of a dream sequence, especially when the son, Eric LaSalle's son, gets stabbed brutally in the chest. This guy who's been nothing but nice and, like, a minute ago was like, here, borrow my iPod, and now he's just dead. It's so brutal and so violent, and it comes out of nowhere, it feels like, that I was like, well, this is a dream. And it threw me off balance for, like, a good 2 minutes, probably, until I kind of figured out what was going on. But again, to the movie's credit, it treats us like adults. And not that I want to see those characters die, but it is showing that there is collateral damage, right? If the whole idea of Logan is like, hey, everywhere I go, people get killed.
Yep.
Well, we need to see that play out, right?
And especially since it you get a sense with it that Logan knows this is going to happen. Like, he inevitably knows bad shit's going to go down, and Xavier is really the one who is like, no, let's stay, let's help these people, let's do this is great. And he even, you know, he says, oh, this has been one of the greatest days I've had in a long time, and the entire time Logan's like, this is not going to end well. And let's switch to X-23 in the sense that Oh, go ahead.
No, I don't want those three innocent people, because now I'm thinking about that night in my head. And obviously we don't want those three innocent people to die. But if they hadn't stayed, Charles Xavier doesn't get that one last night of normalcy. Now, again, I'm not saying that his last night of normalcy outweighs, but yeah. he got a good dinner out of it. So, sorry, farm family. But like, you know, he wanted to stay because he wanted to have a moment like that, and he wanted Logan to have a moment like that, and he wanted X-23 to have a moment like that, and they got that. Now, of course, there's a price to pay. He ends up giving his life for that, but without that, he has that great speech where he says, "This is the best night I can remember in a long time," you know, and it's super sad, because then moments after that, he remembers. When he talks about, "I remember, like, I did things," is he talking about what happened in Vegas? Or is he hinting at, like, killing the X-Men?
I thought he was hinting at killing the
X-Men.
So
did I, but then I'm like, am I overthinking that?
No, I don't think so.
Because I think it's just such a weird, ballsy move to suggest that Charles Xavier killed the X-Men.
Yeah.
And doesn't remember.
In a movie released by Fox, which is continuing to make X-Men movies. Like, is that in the back of our minds now, every time they come out with a new X-Men movie? At some point, like, Xavier's going to wipe you all out? That's fucked up.
It is.
It is a messed up, especially when he realizes it's probably because of his sickness or whatever he has going on. I kind of got that, hey, I killed them and I didn't know what I was doing when
I killed them. Yeah, I didn't think it was like on purpose.
Yeah.
He just woke up an asshole one day.
Fuck these kids.
Bunch of freeloaders. So you had wanted to switch to X-23.
I think that it's there's moments, and my favorite moments with X-23 were when it was just her and Logan just kind of just living life and like doing this thing, and he's kind of trying to take her under his wing, but he doesn't really know how to do that. She's
never satisfied.
Here we go. there's wonderful moments between the two of them, and they were really my favorite. That was my favorite part about it. I mean, yes, I don't know. I mean, you could probably say her and his relationship with just the three of them, him and Charles Xavier, was so great. But man, when they're driving and she's watching him kind of melt down after Xavier's death, and like she's seeing the reality of the life that she's going to be living now, I just thought was a nice place for, not a nice place for her to go, but a smart place for her to go after.
I liked all their stuff. Again, not to repeat myself, but I had said that on paper, the idea of like a movie, a road trip movie in which Logan has a kid and an old man with him, like, sounds like the worst idea ever. And it turns into something pretty special. And all of the moments where Logan is shown, you know, carrying Charles Xavier, I found so moving, this idea of these two men being all each other has at this point. In particular, because of where their story began 17 years ago in the original X-Men. And I never felt like, you know, the X-Men series has been Wolverine's story, even though they've kind of shaped it that way, because he is the breakout character and he is cool and all that. So he ends up getting way more screen time than anybody. But I love the idea that he's devoted his life to taking care of Charles Xavier, that he plans to essentially die with Charles Xavier. They're going to go out on this boat together and both theoretically die, you know, because they're old, Logan may end up shooting himself in the head, or Xavier may have one of his seizures and kill him. Who knows? But like, they'll be away from everyone else and they won't hurt anyone. And that idea of like, we need to isolate ourselves so that we don't hurt anyone anymore is so fascinating, given the fact that they're fucking superheroes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
To hear you say that.
I'm pretty fucking deep. I don't know if you know this. I could have been dropping so much knowledge had I been at the movies with you guys.
There was so much room.
Yeah. No, no, I know that.
I literally threw away a full popcorn. I don't know why we did that.
To be fair, when we threw the popcorn, yeah, we were like, this is for Patrick.
Oh, well, thank you. I thought that was so interesting. And so all of their moments together, I found so much more moving even than Xavier's death, which is fine, but almost feels a little bit perfunctory, just like we know he's going to die at some point. But Patrick Stewart, obviously, super good in the movie.
Oh, he's so good in it.
He's amazing in the movie. Yeah.
He really is. I mean, and I feel like
when we're talking about Academy Award,
if he doesn't win all the Oscars, why even have the Oscars?
Yeah, right.
But when you think about, you know, he's always good, right? But his casting as Charles Xavier from the very beginning has always been kind of like
a no-brainer.
A no-brainer.
Yeah.
And I like how he's played the part, but he hasn't really played a part. Do you know what I mean? He looked a part.
Yep.
He had a certain presence to him. He delivered the lines totally competently. But we don't really know that much about Charles Xavier. Like, James McAvoy actually does way more in his two big X-Men movies than Patrick Stewart is able to do. It's not Patrick Stewart's fault. But I feel like now in this movie, he's really given stuff to do and a part to play.
Be a character.
Yeah.
Than just like this... The glue that holds the X-Men together.
Right.
He's like an actual person with feelings and, yes.
And again,
not agree
just a guy filled with regret. I mean, that's what so much of this movie is about.
He had a dream, and he's watched the dream be wiped out. Coming and from what we can tell, he's the reason the dream got wiped out.
Right. And I like, too, that he's got that great moment where he, you know, Logan, I have to pee. Like, I like that the movie finds humor without stopping for jokes.
Yes.
Because that shit will always rip you out of a movie, you know? And this movie doesn't do that, I don't think.
In some cases, it brings me more into the movie in the sense that my favorite sequence is when the Reavers attack the compound. And X-23 goes apeshit. Like, that's amazing, okay? That was my favorite sequence. But when we're talking about just a progression of events, when she drives Logan to the hospital and the doctor sees him, and the doctor's reaction is, I've always wanted to meet one of you. Like, that just, so I never would have thought that would happen. Like, that's something I never really thought of, is like this medical doctor is excited. There's a mutant. There's none left. And here's one in his office. Like, that's so cool to him.
And the shot of his abdomen and like what's done to it's brutal.
Yeah.
My wife, who doesn't deal with violence as well as I do in movies, was cringing at the last 20 minutes of this movie because it is just rough stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, people get fucked up.
But then to go back to the humor thing, just being a father, that part where she starts talking for the first time and he just turns to her and he's like, you talk, and then 5 seconds later is like, shut the fuck up. Like that's, I love my son, but that's happened to me a few times where it's like, I don't care. What do you want to buy? What do you want me to buy you? Just shut the fuck up.
The Wampas are gone, okay? They're gone. They're never coming back.
I don't like Mean Dada.
I don't know who that little cartoon dude is you saw in Mama's room. I don't know who that is. I have my suspicions.
Nerd.
I have some theories. I mean the scene in the convenience store was in all the trailers, obviously, where he goes, not okay, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
But I do love the beat at the end of that where he swipes the cigar. But then we don't have to see him smoke the cigar.
Exactly.
And it's like, that's so built in
to
what we know about him that, like, that beat makes sense, but Mangold doesn't feel like, okay, now we need to show him smoke the cigar because that's what Wolverine does.
Right.
Just the movie gives the audience a lot of credit, and that is nice because I won't say no movies do that. I won't even say no blockbusters do that, but this is working within a genre that often feels the need to spell things out, the way that it hints at the passage of time or what has happened, how we're in the future. There's little throwaway things about how tigers are extinct and what else?
driving cars, the driverless cars.
Which apparently are a real thing,
a
right?
Real thing.
I'm so scared of that. but I really like the references to where we're at in terms of being in the future or what has happened in the past without ever. The closest the movie gets to an exposition dump, and I actually would argue this is the clumsiest scene in the movie, is the cell phone video that he stops to watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where she explains everything about the kids and the experiments and all. It's like, wow, you really put some time into editing this thing together, including intercutting your narration. Like, every once in a while, she'll cut back to her talking, and that's like, now back to the B-roll.
I did this on iMovie.
I get, you know, that it's necessary, but it is the clumsiest piece of storytelling, I think.
Yep.
I will say, here's one other criticism. Are you ready? And Mike might laugh at me because this is a pet peeve of mine. Do you know what it is?
No, do they kill... I don't know, one of your characters, or your pet peeve is killing off a character that...
His haircut keeps changing.
Oh, okay.
Logan, there's three or four scenes where he has a distinctly different haircut. It's much shorter.
Okay.
And Kate Mara bad, or...
Nothing's fucking Kate Mara bad. Are you kidding me? But I was sitting there wondering, like, so was this a reshoot what was it? Yeah. But there are just a handful of scenes where his hair is very different. And for whatever reason, it distracts me every time I notice it.
Well, to go back to Phantom Menace, I was thinking of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Holy shit. What is going on in that sequence with his weird orange wig that
he's
wearing?
I hate that. I love that movie now.
I don't get it.
I also give the movie credit for this. Speaking of the fight scene at the end with the kids and the Reavers, that it didn't turn. There was no like robot Reaver that shows up.
you know
what I mean? Like,
it's a bigger Reaver. They've joined together to make a giant Reaver.
It's the same bad guys from
right, and they're essentially humans.
Yeah,
you know, there wasn't. There's certainly some supernatural, or not supernatural, but comic booky stuff in the movie. Whether it's just healing factors or Caliban is the closest, I think, the movie comes to being real mutant-y, or Professor X, I guess, having those seizures that threaten to kill everyone. But it is... I don't think the movie tries to distance itself from that stuff so much in a way that it's like embarrassed and makes them wear black leather instead of yellow spandex or whatever. But it is, like you were saying with Thor or Doctor Strange, it's like so grounded that... The more comic booky stuff are almost like just little flourishes, kind of.
Right. And at the end of the day, the real villain is time.
Right? For all of us.
Right.
For all of us.
You guys, we got really deep the second time.
Right?
This is
so shallow before. Let me ask you guys this. This is a question that I posed to you earlier, and I'll pose it to you again. Because one of the responses that I've seen about this movie is that people are going out of their way to separate it from the superhero genre. And I get that the superhero genre carries some baggage now because we all feel like we're getting too many superhero movies, even though it's, you know, four or five a year.
I'm okay with it still.
I mean, I don't get as excited as I once did.
I will agree with that.
What gets me excited is usually whatever creative team is on the movie at this point.
Right.
But whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I like the trailer for the new Spider-Man, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
And part of that is just me being like, I hope they get Spider-Man right this time. But it's hard for me to get excited about, you know, a lot of these movies. But so there's all this like, but it's not just a good superhero movie, it's a great movie, as though those two things are independent of one another. And I'm noticing this as a trend coming off of last week when Get Out came out, and all of a sudden it was like all these think pieces written about how we can suddenly take horror seriously. Horror can be about bigger issues. And anybody who's actually paying attention to horror knows that it's always been that way.
Yeah, that's insane.
But again, these are outlets. This isn't coming from Bloody Disgusting or whatever. This is coming from, who knows, Vanity Fair or people who don't see horror movies. You know, they saw Get Out and they're like, oh, look at that. It has a brain. Like, well, fuck yeah. A lot of these movies do. So there's almost this weird thing where I'm seeing certain genres being, for lack of a better term, ghettoized. And so if a movie is really good, all of a sudden we're saying that it transcends its genre or that it stands apart from its genre. Instead of saying, like, this is a really good superhero movie that kind of does some different things with the superhero movie, we're saying, like, well, it's not really a superhero movie. This is its own thing.
This is a graphic novel.
Right, exactly, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I look at it as in two ways, in the sense that it goes about who I recommend the movie to.
Okay.
My father-in-law, I was talking to him about this movie, and I said, hey, you know, this movie's really, really good. I think you might like it. It's not a typical superhero movie, because I know that he does not like superhero movies. It's just not his thing. Whereas in this movie is saying more things. But I think that also it goes along also with what you were saying about horror with Get Out. I mean, if you know X-Men, I mean, X-Men is deep as far as comics go. I mean, this is it's about racism and you know, fear and xenophobia and so many other things that we've all known about and the X-Men movies have been doing. But I just, maybe it's just a way of saying that, hey, maybe if this is not your cup of tea of being able to get these things in a movie, that maybe this won't work for you.
I worry that it's like this weird attempt to legitimize something that I don't think needs legitimizing. It's like when in the 90s, when a horror movie broke through, all of a sudden it became a thriller. When they wanted to win Oscars, you know, right. Silence of the Lambs becomes a psychological thriller. Like, it's a fucking horror movie. They're eating people in that movie.
Right.
And so I just don't. I would rather people acknowledge the ability for the comic book movie or the superhero movie, since this is a genre now unto itself that is here to stay, obviously. We're going into our third decade of this being a huge deal. So that it's more malleable than we gave it credit for, that maybe in the early days we had to establish the parameters and say, okay, here's kind of what to expect. But now we're able to, within that framework, do different things. And not, you know, because early horror movies were like, there's a monster. And now there's all kinds of different horror movies, right? So why can't we get there with superhero movies too? And maybe this is the start of that. I just don't want to see people say, like, well, if it's good, it's not really a superhero movie. It's something different. Why can't we just say, well, this is a superhero movie that is kind of pushing in new directions?
Let me ask you this. Like, do you ever see, I know that Deadpool was nominated for a Golden Globe, but like, do you ever? I mean, I know we made.
That's fucking ridiculous.
I know, but like, I know that we made jokes about it and things like that. But would it take something like a Logan being nominated for?
Oh, the Dark
an Academy.
The Dark Knight was not nominated.
No,
I don't recall. I mean,
that's why they expanded to 10 nominees, because of the Dark Knight.
Yep.
Like how. I don't think we've ever seen a comic book movie
for Best Picture?
Yeah, for Best Picture.
I mean, because Heath Ledger won.
For Batman, that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
But aside from that, no, they're not often, you know, awards consideration. It's obviously too early to say that this movie's going to be nominated
for
anything.
It probably won't, because it's, you know, it's a...
Because it came out a week after the Oscars, you know. I don't know. I don't know.
It is frustrating from a comic book fan, and I know that you get frustrated with it too, that here's these great things that we love. Neil Gaiman once famously said, I hope I'm getting it right, I'm probably paraphrasing, but you have, you know, artwork hung in galleries and people go and respect it so much, and you've got books and all these stories that are so revered, and then you put the two of them together and now they're for children. Like,
right.
Well,
right.
Well, I think I'm... probably, as I'm listening to you guys, somewhat guilty of being the guy who would be quick to be like, no, 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 it's not like other comic book
movies.
I'm
there too. You're not the only
But it's not.
No,
that doesn't... statement is still true.
But I just had this conversation with my mom, and I love my mom. She is 81 years old. And we were talking about the Oscars, and it turned into this whole conversation about how, in her mind... Like a movie like Raiders of the Lost Ark. She loves Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah, Dad, you can't like, that can't be Best Picture because it's not about, you know, World War II or whatever. It turned into this very big debate with her. And I, so I feel like if I were describing Logan to my mom, I would be very quick to be like, but no, it's not like other comic book movies because I'd want to sell it.
Well, it's movies and films, right? Or comic books and graphic novels, and some things are movies and stuff.
So I feel like I'm probably guilty of that attempt, depending on my audience. But I totally hear what you're saying.
And I get, you know, that if you're trying to sell somebody on it who's like, I'm not into these costumed fighters battling the world and there's a laser going into the sky. Like, this movie doesn't do any of that. There are no costumes. There's no laser going into the sky. There's...
But it's still, it's about a guy with claws in his hand who...
That's the thing. It's like, even if you try to sell somebody, like, on this, no, it's a... What do? The second claws come out of this guy's hand, like...
And he's got a daughter, and the claws come out of her feet.
to the credit of the X-Men series, which certainly has its highs and lows, you know, X-Men Apocalypse was like on HBO last night, and I have a hard time getting through about 10 minutes of that movie. Have you seen that one?
This is going to be funny. I've downloaded it onto my iPad to watch it on iTunes 3 times. And all 3 times, another movie's come out like a week later, and I'm like, I only got room for one of these on my iPad. I think it's worth $3 not to watch this. Yep.
Next hospital visit it is.
It's not very good. No. To the series credit, I mean, the first scene in any X-Men movie 17 years ago is Child Magneto at a concentration camp. Like, so these movies have always been doing something that is grounded and isn't just giant lasers shooting up into the sky. You know what I mean? Like, to all of a sudden say, like, well, this is a real movie because it deals with these real things. Like, they've been doing it all along. And that's, you know, that comes from the comic because the comic has always been so good at that and such a metaphor and all that. I weirdly find the X-Men movies more rewatchable than most of the Marvel movies, even when I like the Marvel movies better. Like, I like Iron Man 3 is a better movie than X-Men The Last Stand, but I'm more likely to rewatch X-Men The Last Stand than I am to ever rewatch Iron Man 3.
Do you think it's an affection for those characters?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, I just like the world of the X-Men, you know?
It is a little bit on the darker side of the comic book. I mean, if you had to, you know, pick a, you know, if you're going like Richard Donner's Superman's the lightest and lighthearted.
Or Steel.
Or Steel. you know,
Batman
Roger
and
Corbin.
Robin.
Yeah. Like, if there's, like, there's the, this is the light
this
side
the
of it.
The chilling sound of your doom. Seriously, you guys, what killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. Ice to meet you.
Can we just do this for the rest of the podcast?
You're being a real ice hole. Bad Schwarzenegger impressions you want to do until we've literally been podcasting about this movie for almost 5 hours, everyone.
Buzz just removed his glasses.
I'm fine.
We're delirious.
Whenever you're near.
So this is on the darker side.
Yeah, like I would say the X-Men ones are on the darker half of like the spectrum when it comes to the comic book movies. So. But they don't get too dark, whereas in, you know, I'm watching, you know, mopey Superman. So
So that's the thing is like, yes, they are on the darker
side. Moperman?
The death of Moperman?
All right. Krypton's gone. I'll hang out with Batman.
Anyway, they are on the darker side. But have not yet being the operative word, succumbed to the need to be gritty.
Yes.
And
Logan totally walks that line.
But I don't feel like it's ever doing that bullshit gritty thing.
It doesn't.
Yes, I agree.
it comes by its tone completely honestly, mm-hmm. I think. It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, 5 hours of podcasting about it, I still, like, would watch it right now.
I don't ever want to talk about this movie again.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it, but I'll go see it.
And we would all put it somewhere. I won't have us all rank our X-Men again, but we'd all put it somewhere in our top 5 X-Men movies.
Yeah, towards the top, for sure.
I would say it's in the top 3 for me. Yeah.
Okay. And last question. What killed the dinosaurs?
I don't know. What did? I don't know.
I honestly have no idea. That's the thing.
Was it the Ice Age?
I believe it was, actually. Not a pun. Just stating a fact that has the word ice in it. You know? Like, what do you put in a vodka rocks? Vodka and ice!
Ice!
You're just stating facts.
What does water come when it gets really cold? Ice! And then you skate. You play hockey. The stick's made of wood.
And scene. So podcast bad. Is
Holy
over.
Holy shit. Oh, Nerdle, you fuck. Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening. Mike and Adam.
Yes.
In a moment of rare sincerity, I cannot thank you guys enough for seeing the movie without me, but also for coming to podcast on it, because it's always fun to talk to you guys. And then to fucking stick around until 11 o'clock at night and podcast on it.
Is it 11 o'clock? Shit.
Podcast on it a second time. You guys are heroes and champions and great men. And I truly, truly, truly appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Patrick.
Thank
and
you.
Honestly, it was a lot of fun. We were nervous going into it a second time.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Me too.
But like, I don't know if we're gonna. It does feel a little weird, like saying the same thing to the same people again.
Yeah.
The second, but I have to remember the people listening to the podcast. They
first time they've heard it, mm-hmm. And Nerdle is a new edition.
Yeah.
So
that just happened.
I feel
folks.
Like that saved us. Anyway, thank
for
you.
Sure.
Thank you all for listening. You can always find our website at fthismovie.net. We are on Twitter. Follow us. We are at fthismovie, or you can like us on Facebook. Find us on Stitcher. In the iTunes store, search F This Movie. If you're a fan of the show and you have not yet rated us, please do. We appreciate it. And as always, you can email us feedback or show suggestions at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Next week, we will be back. JB returns to the show because he's a big monkey, and we will be talking Kong Skull Island.
Is there any ice in that movie?
There may be some ice. I'm not totally sure. That is a fucking garbage title for a movie, by the way. Originally, it was just going to be Skull Island, and they're like, but what if people don't know what Skull Island is? I know. Let's just call it Kong Skull Island. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway,
still
not I'm going to save this
Batman v Superman.
I'm
going to
save this gold for next week's podcast. Thank you guys again for listening. Thank you, Mike and Adam.
Thank you,
Patrick.
And mostly, thank you, Nerdle.
Yeah. You got it.
Thanks for listening to FS Movie.